This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to The Hindu's In Focus podcast with me, Amit Barua, your host for this episode. If one can rank assembly elections in order of importance, after Uttar Pradesh, it has to be Punjab in the five states going to polls. If Punjab Assembly 2017 was a three-cornered contest with the Congress getting a thumping majority, it was Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal who could not believe that AAP had lost the polls. The Akali Dal BJP alliance came third in the 2017 race. In 2022, former Chief Minister Amrinder Singh has allied with the BJP, some victorious farmers who forced the BJP government to withdraw the three contentious agricultural laws have entered the fray. The Akalis are now in alliance with the BSP, while the Congress and AAP remain serious contenders for power. To discuss the state of play in Punjab, I have with me today Kamar Sandhu, senior journalist and former Chandigarh-based resident editor of the Indian Express and Hindustan Times newspapers. He is also an outgoing MLA from Kharar in the Punjab Assembly, having been elected on the AAP ticket. Welcome to the Hindus in Focus podcast, Kamar.
Thank you, Amit. Thank you. Thank you for taking me in this podcast.
Kamar, my first question to you. You retweeted on January 22nd someone called Amar Sidhu, who said that Punjab had a lot of politics but no political alternative. Mr. Sidhu also said people in Punjab had been reduced to those backing those who would do the least damage. Does your retweet mean agreement with the views expressed by Mr. Sidhu?
Well, you know, when I tweeted that, what I had in mind was that this time, as never before, people are shifting parties, so there is a lot of politics. But when they're shifting parties just on the eve of the elections, obviously there is no ideology and there is no vision, and I don't think they have the future of Punjab in mind. But as I said before, plenty of politics, and that is exactly what is happening. If you notice, a lot of people, almost one third of the candidates of the Aam Aadmi Party have come from the other parties. Similarly, more than half of the candidates of the BJP, which have been announced so far, have come from the other parties. And this is true of also the various other parties. So I think it is an election as never before, and most elections have been without any ideology, but this one particularly so, Amit.
So, Kamar, will Punjab witness principally, in your view, a three-cornered contest with the farmer groups and the BJP Amrinder Alliance as bit players? Or does it look like a full-fledged five-cornered contest to you?
It looks like a five-cornered contest this time. And I don't think in recent years we've had this kind of a five-cornered contest. You have the Congress, the incumbent party in power. Then you have the Akali Dal BSP, the second party. Then you have the Aam Aadmi Party, which was the principal opposition party. And then for the first time, the farmer groups are trying their luck. They have put forward a party called the Sanyukt Samaj Morcha, led by Balbir Singh Rajewal, who was a part of the farmers' Andolan. And then the fifth party in the fray is the BJP Punjab Lok Congress, led by Amrinder Singh, and the Akali Dal, led by Sukhdev Singh Dhindsa. So it's going to be a five-cornered contest, and it's absolutely wide open. It could be anybody's game, really, Amit.
So if last time also the three-cornered contest was different for Punjab. So if it's a five-cornered contest, then margins and vote percentages will necessarily be quite narrow.
That is true. That is true. That is exactly the reason why a lot of people are projecting a hung parliament. I don't know whether that actually happens, because Punjab is not used to giving the hung assembly. But this time, because of so many players in the fray, and each of the major chunks of votes are likely to be divided. For example, you have almost about 32% Dalit vote in Punjab, which is the highest in the country. Now, the Dalit vote is likely to be split at least in three or four groups. there is a tie-up for the first time after 1996 between the Akali Dal and the BSP. So obviously, a lot of Dalits will vote for the BSP. And then the Congress is trying to woo that the Dalit vote by projecting Charanjit Singh Channi as one of the contenders for the Chief Minister. And even the Aam Aadmi Party Supremo Arvind Kejriwal has been trying to woo the Dalit voter by announcing 300 units of electricity, free power and things like that. With the farmers in the fray, the Jat vote, the Jats, mind you, are only about 20 to 22% in the state, but they are a dominant player. Most of the chief ministers except two times in recent years have been Jat chief ministers. The Jat vote is likely to be split in at least four or five ways, really. So this is the reason why a lot of people are projecting a hung assembly, and the BJP is hoping that, like in 1992, there may be a polarization of votes. And if that happens, then they could be the deciding factor. In fact, the urban Hindu vote, which is 10 to 15%, which actually the BJP is hoping that would be the swing vote. Actually, the Hindus are almost about 38% in the state. I'm sorry to be talking in terms of in such parochial terms, but that is what elections are all about, unfortunately, in Punjab. So this is the situation, and because the votes are likely to be split, the BJP is obviously hoping that the urban vote will swing to their side. If that happens, then I think they could well play the role of the kingmaker.
Right. What impact do you think the repeal of these three contentious agricultural laws will have? Obviously, it's a major victory for the farmer groups. But on the election as a theme, what impact do you think it might have, Kamal?
Well, the farmers' issue is a huge issue. And the whole of the politics in Punjab for the last 1 year has centered around the farmers' agitation. But now with the repeal of the laws and the farmers entering the fray, this is anybody's game now. I don't think the farmers are in a strong enough position to sway or win the elections. But they will definitely have a major impact on various parties, particularly on the Shromi Akali Dal and the Aam Aadmi Party voter. Those are the people who were hoping. The Shromi Akali Dal's vote bank primarily lies in the rural areas. So that will have an impact, but I think it will basically, the impact will be of splitting the vote, to my mind. Had the farmers, Amit, entered the fray, let's say 3 months ago, had they been able to get together, work out their candidates, work out a proper, the election manifesto, had they been able to get their registration, the party is not even registered as of now. So if they had been able to get a symbol, they have been asking for tractor as the symbol. So then they could have been a major player. But now, as of today, I think they're only going to play the spoil sport as far as the parties are concerned.
So tell our listeners, Kavar, were you surprised at all when Captain Amrinder Singh walked out of the Congress and went into the BJP?
Well, actually, when the Congress party, Congress High Command decided to replace Captain Amrinder Singh, it was a big surprise. Obviously, he was on the receiving end as far as the Congress MLAs were concerned. But this kind of a change on the eve of elections could not be imagined. I think the last time this was done was in 1997. That is when Harcharan Singh Brar was replaced by Rajinder Kaur Bhattal, which was less than 3 months before the polls. Rajinder Kaur Bhattal did bring about major changes, but it gave no benefit to the Congress, and Congress was down to, I think, just about 14 seats out of 117 seats. This time the Congress is not that badly placed, but this is the gamble they have played once again. So since Captain Amrinder Singh was changed at the last moment, he felt insulted. And since he felt insulted, and also since there was a major difference of opinion on the governance issues and also on relations with dealing with Pakistan. So that is how I think Amrinder Singh decided to go with the BJP. And Amrinder's old military background and his being and his having voiced security concerns as Pakistan is concerned, I think that was another reason why he went with the BJP. But I don't think the BJP is going to be a major gainer there, because Amrinder Singh, because of the perception that he didn't do enough in the last 4.5 years, doesn't look like getting too much vote in Punjab. BJP also has a weak partner in the Akali Dal Sanyukt, led by Sukhdev Singh Dhimsa. However, with these two parties, the BJP will get a foothold in the rural areas. Otherwise, if you notice, Amit, the BJP was finding it difficult to even enter the villages. Now, at least they can do that with the help of these two parties. But the BJP's basic hope and strength is that they will be able to sway the urban voter. And they feel that if polarization does take place, which they think may have taken place because of the farmers' agitation, then they feel that they could actually repeat what happened in 1992. Obviously, at that point of time, if you remember, the Akali Dal had boycotted the elections. But the BJP, they won only 6 seats, but, you know, they had a vote share of almost about 16 or 17%. So the BJP has done well off and on. I remember in 2007, it had won 19 seats, as many as 19 seats, though it had a vote share of only 5%. So that's the kind of performance they're hoping to repeat, Amit.
So, Kamar, also tell us, how do you rate Charanjit Singh Channi's brief tenure as chief minister? In an official video released on the Congress party's Twitter handle, you know, they virtually sort of named him the chief ministerial candidate.
Frankly, Charanjit Channi has been a little known politician in Punjab. Incidentally, he comes from Kharad, the constituency that I represent, but because since he comes from a Dalit family, he went in for the reserve constituency of Chamkorsa, which is next to Kharad. With his performance in the last about 4 or 5 months, he has actually surprised a lot of people. He was very active. He took some hard decisions. He was seen all over the place. So he was a complete contrast to what people were used to seeing in Amrinder Singh. For the first time, I think the Congress felt that they had a big chance in the Doaba area, which is the heartland of the Dalits. You know, in Punjab, if you remember, is of three areas. You have the Malwa belt, which has almost about 69 seats. Then you have the Majha belt, which is Amritsar Gurdaspur area, the border belt, which is about 25 seats, and then Doaba, which is Jalandhar, Hoshiarpur, Kapurthala, and this area. There are about 23 seats there. Congress had done extremely well in the Doaba area last time. They had won almost about 15 out of 23 seats. So they feel that with Channi there, a Dalit chief minister, we haven't had a Dalit chief minister before. So with a Dalit chief minister, they feel that the Congress can even do better than what they did in 2017. And, you know, they feel that they can make good the loss they might suffer in the Majha, where they had done very well in the 2017 elections. So it's a big gamble they played, but it's a two-edged sword now. Because of Charanjit Channi having done quite well, now it is difficult for them to announce anybody else as the chief minister. So then that's the dilemma the Congress is in at the moment.
And how do you see the role of Navjot Singh Sidhu? Because despite being made president of the state Congress, he continues to attack his own party on many an occasion.
Navjot Sidhu is kind of a maverick. Initially, the Congress saw the benefit of projecting him because they felt that they will be able to undo the anti-incumbency of the Amrinder Singh regime. Because Navjot Sidhu, they felt that, you know, could tell people that, you know, whatever hasn't been done will be done in the next five years. But unfortunately, he hasn't really worked out to be a great team player. And he's been rubbing a lot of people on the wrong side. The Akali Dal is worried because of him, because they feel that he's a tremendous campaigner. The decision that has come about only a couple of hours ago to have Vikram Singh Majithia against whom a drug case was filed a few weeks ago. A fresh case was filed a few weeks ago. In fact, Majithia is going to fight Navjot Sidhu in Amritsar East. That's the seat where Navjot Sidhu has been traditionally fighting. The idea is to tie up Navjot Sidhu in his own constituency so that he cannot campaign all over the state. So if that happens, then I think Navjot Sidhu will find it difficult to campaign all over the state. But if he is able to campaign all over the state, he is a very effective campaigner. And that's his strength, and that's what the Congress High Command is banking upon.
And the cover now to come to your, if I might call it, your former party, the Aam Aadmi Party. How do you see its prospects?
Well, Aam Aadmi Party, in my opinion, has been making the same kind of mistakes that it made in 2017. It was very well placed in 2017, but at that point of time, they overdid the Sikh card. That is how they were able to get a lot of support of the Punjabis settled abroad, particularly the Sikhs settled abroad. In the process, they even hobnobbed or flirted with some of the radical elements, because of which the urban voter swung away from the Aam Aadmi Party. This time, the Aam Aadmi Party is swinging the other way. They are swinging in favor of the urban voter. That is how they organized two or three Taranga Yatras, which haven't been taken very well in the rural areas in Punjab. The problem with the Aam Aadmi Party is that the last 4.5 years, Arvind Kejriwal was not active at all in Punjab. In fact, he didn't come to Punjab. And most of the senior leaders, if I could call it, most of the people who could be called the senior leaders have actually left the party or have been expelled from the party, or for whatever reason, they're not there anymore. So Bhagwant Mann remains the only face of the party. So they don't have another strong leader of Punjab except Bhagwant. And if Bhagwant gets tied down in his own seat of Dhuri, where he's contesting, I'm not sure how the campaigning will take place. So it will basically again be Arvind Kejriwal coming and campaigning in Punjab. And so that may be misunderstood again. The opposition might cry foul and say that, you know, the party is run, it's a Delhi-centric party, and Arvind Kejriwal controls that party. The other problem with the Aam Aadmi Party is that they are reasonably strong in Malwa even this time. Malwa, where the majority of the seats are. In fact, out of the 20 seats that they won last time, majority of the seats were from the Malwa belt. But they were very weak in 2017 in Majha, that is Amritsar, Gurdaspur area. They were very weak in the Doaba area, which is Jalandhar, Hoshiarpur, Kapurthala, Namashar area. And they still continue to be very weak in these areas. So unless they are able to get a foothold in Majha and Doaba, they may do very well in Malwa. But without getting enough seats from the Doaba and the Majha, it will be difficult for them to cross the figure of 35 or 40 seats.
Right. So if it's, as you said, going to be a five-cornered contest, I mean, would you say the election is quite open in a sense? I mean, there are two, three contenders and, you know, serious contenders, and either of them could emerge as the single largest party at least?
Yes, I think the elections are absolutely open. A lot will depend, Amit, on how the Dalit voter swings. You see, the last time there was an alliance between the Akali Dal and the BSP was in 1996. That is when Babu Kanshiram was alive. And they did very well at that time. If my memory serves me right, they won 11 out of the 13 Lok Sabha seats. But the party's graph has been coming down since then. The Akali Dal tied up with the BJP, the BSP was on its own, and they kept coming down. In 1992, they did well, but 1992 was a different election. The Akalis had boycotted the election. After that, their voting share has been coming down in every election. They were down to 1.5%. The vote share was down to 1.5% in 2017. It was a shade better in 2012. was 4%, and in 1997 was 7.5%. So the Dalits have a sizable vote there, as I said, 32% of the total population in Punjab.
They don't vote according as a block in a sense, do they?
They don't vote as a block because you have the Mazbi Sikhs, who are majority amongst the Dalits. They are almost about 25-26%. Then you have the Ravidasias or the Ramdasias, who are about almost 21-22%. Then you have the Adharmis, about 10%. Balmikis, another 9-10%. So all of them, they vote for one party or the other. For example, the Mazbis traditionally have been voting for the Akalis. Ravidasias, either the Congress or they vote for either the Congress or the BSP and so on. So I think this is the vote which is going to play a very crucial role. And the Akali Dal, having tied up with the BSP, I think may get the benefit of some advantage there.
Before I let you go, Kavar, I just wanted to ask you, you have had long experience as a journalist in reporting and covering and being an editor in Punjab. So would you like to sort of stick your neck out and say what you might find in the afternoon of March 10th, what kind of results will we see from the Punjab?
I dare not do that, Amit. One, it is a little too early. Because the nominations are still taking place. In fact, some parties haven't announced all their candidates. So let us see how the campaign picks up, how the campaigning, because you see, this is going to be a very different campaign, Amit. This is perhaps the first election during the pandemic or post-pandemic, as they say. And we are not having any big rallies as of now, not before the 1st of February. It's quite possible that may be extended. So that means this is going to be an election with the TV interface and also on the social media. And since no ground rules have been laid for social media, I don't know how the campaigning will take place. And I don't even know if the Election Commission is really geared up to deal with the campaigning on the social media, because there will be a lot of under the belt hits here and there. So we'll have to wait and watch as to how the campaigning takes place. If the big rallies are not allowed, then traditional campaigners, the good campaigners like Navjot Sidhu and Bhagwant Mann will not be able to display their major strength. So let's see how the campaigning goes. I think it will be a better idea if we touch base again closer to after the elections and closer to the results summit.
We'll leave it that. For now, Kavar Sandhu, thank you so much for talking to the Hindu in Focus podcast.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Pleasure talking to you.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.